Yeah. Leon came by and said, "Are they playing Blueberry Hill this morning?" We got there. That was good. You know, one of the hazards of getting older is diminishing strength. Things that I used to could do, I can't do anymore. Or I can't do them as well as I used to could. I don't know about you, but Mr. Ache and Mr. Payne follow me everywhere I go. Every time I turn around. Losses in relationships and independence and income and mobility haunt me because I see things coming. My memory malfunctions. What I would love to remember, I forget. And what I wish I could forget, I remember. What used to be taut and tight is now saggy and slack. Believe it or not, Solomon has something to say about that. Proverbs 24:10, he said, "If you are slack in the day of distress, your strength is limited." In other words, if you're going downstairs and you start to fall, it's a whole lot harder to stop that than it is if you're going upstairs and start to fall. Because you're already going in that direction. If we're already slack, if we're already going down, whenever the distress hits, it doesn't have to do much to take us that much further all the way down. It's easier to fall than to stay up. My dad fell a lot during the latter days, and he said he learned something about falling. Let it go. He said, "Don't try to catch yourself. Just go and then deal with what you got when it's all over with." He said, you're going to hurt yourself if you try to catch something and grab onto something. He said, "So I just go. And then I see how bad I'm hurt after I'm over, and we'll deal with that when it comes." Solomon, in this particular proverb, was basically giving us an overview of life. He was telling us, in distress, we need strength from a source greater than we can carry within ourselves or something that we have built up within ourselves. Why? Because our own strength is going to fail at some point. Here's what David said. He said, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails." He didn't say if it fails. David knew that there's coming a day when my strength will fail. Well, in the same way, there's times coming that if I'm relying on my own strength, I'm going to fail. Because I don't have the strength that it takes to deal with the distresses within my life. So I need another source. I need another direction to look. Corrie ten Boom, the great Dutch lady of the Holocaust days, said, "If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest." Those words are really powerful if you allow them to be broken out and you take each one of them and you minister and massage them into your spirit. And that's what I want to do today. So let's take the first one. When I look at the world, I am distressed. I am distressed by many things that I see when I look at the world. Fake news outlets. Running a story before they have the facts. It doesn't matter how good of a network it is. If they run the story before they have the facts, they're actually presenting fake news until they have real news. We learned this in the Kavanaugh hearings, where all of a sudden he was the most horrid man to ever walk on the face of the earth, and he was accused by people who had lied against him. The Covington Catholic school kids, when they were involved in that confrontation in Washington, the story ran with it. All they needed was just about 15 seconds of video before the video that was released, and they would have seen what happened before that famous section of that video had happened. Jussie Smollett's fake attack went from outrage to embarrassment. Why? Because it fit a narrative that they wanted to project about our country. They wanted to use that to say something that they felt like needed to be said. And what you'll find often that characterizes some of these outlets as being fake news outlets is that though they find out later they were mistaken, you never hear about it. It's buried, pushed under a rug, and you never know what's going on. Used to be that there was an integrity there. I think we've lost that, and it makes me get distressed when I watch news. Also, stresses me when Hollywood or the music industry tries to set the standard for morals and politics. Since when does becoming famous all of a sudden make you an expert on what's right or wrong? It scares me and it distresses me. Another thing that distresses me is society's skewed view of the sanctity of life. Believe it or not, you can be fined for up to $100,000 and a year imprisonment if you take, harass, harm, pursue, hunt, shoot, wound, kill, trap, or capture any marine turtle, turtle nest, and or eggs, or attempt to engage in any such conduct. That's right off of the law itself. How about this one? You can be fined for up to $250,000 and 2 years imprisonment if you take, pursue, shoot at, poison, wound, kill, capture, trap, collect, molest, or disturb a bald eagle. What if you take the life of a preborn baby? What if you even wait until the moment of birth and take that baby's life? Legislatures will stand and applaud. That distresses me. Also, it distresses me having our senses dulled due to evil. News of shootings, rapes, abuse are so common now, we don't even flinch when we see them. Baltimore had 14 shootings from Thursday night to Friday morning this week. Even when the newscast says, "We warn you, what you're about to see may be inappropriate," what do? Put out whatever we're working on and we watch. Because that's the normal attraction. I usually say, then don't show it to me. If it might be inappropriate, don't show it. You make a judgment call about the appropriateness of something. If it's not appropriate, leave it off of the visual part for my eyes. It distresses me. Also, politics distress me. People trying to change America into a godless, socialistic, amoral society. And then it appears no one is rising up against that to say, no, that's wrong. Another thing is social media. We've lost the decorum on what's appropriate to say and not say. As long as we get some likes, some people agreeing with us, why are Twitter feeds considered publishable news items? Who cares what someone comments on, and who knows if their comment is right or wrong? You see, distress that comes in when we look at our world is an internal torment caused by external affliction. And when I look at the world, I get distressed. Corrie ten Boom said you would. If you want to get distressed, look at the world. But she went on to say the second thing. She said, when I look inside, I am depressed. You see, when I look inside, I see my failures more than I see my successes. I have a standard, as you do, that I measure myself by, and perhaps it comes from a mom or a dad or peers or maybe a church. But we expect certain behavior and certain performance. When we can't achieve that, we then label ourselves as having failed somehow or another. When I failed, I feel condemnation. Who's the condemner? It's not God. Satan. The Bible says Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And I feel condemned if I feel condemned, it's the enemy at work in my life trying to make me feel bad about something that I may have no control over. Or it may not be a serious issue, but I carry it as some form of failure that condemns me. Now, there's another side of that coin. There is conviction. Conviction is when God gets at work inside of us through His Spirit and says, you know, we might want to fix that area of your life. You got off base. Let's get you back on it. You took a detour. Let's come back. Or, yeah, you blew it. Let's fix that and move forward. That's conviction. Conviction draws us toward God. Condemnation pushes us away from God. See, inside, I feel fear. Saying about that today. I feel fear. I feel hatred. I feel doubts. I feel loneliness. I have memories that haunt me, limitations that restrict me. I have illness and disease that try to cripple me. So if I give too much attention looking at myself, I'm going to get depressed. Depression comes when we allow our suffering to define us to the extent that we torture ourselves by our own suffering. But when I look at both, when I look at both the world and then I look within myself, I become stressed. Stress is the body's reaction to a harmful situation. Things I consider a threat to me. When we feel threatened, we enter into this fight or flight mode. Our heart rate goes up. Our breathing intensifies. Our muscles constrict. We are ready to run or we're ready to fight. But whenever I feel threatened, I start getting into this stress response so that I can deal with whatever I've got to deal with and move on to there. I'm ready to act, to protect myself. Now, stress has common symptoms. Remember the thing I've shared with you throughout this study? Whatever fills your bucket is what's going to slosh out. Well, what's in the bucket starts sloshing out during stress. Let me give you some of those symptoms. There's emotional symptoms of stress. Includes becoming easily agitated, frustrated and moody, feeling overwhelmed, having difficulty relaxing and quieting our minds, feeling lonely, worthless, depressed, avoiding others. Sort of an emotional withdrawal into ourselves whenever we feel the threat from whatever direction. There's physical symptoms that can be there because of stress. Low energy, headaches, stomach disorders, aches, pains, and tense muscles, chest pain and rapid heartbeats, insomnia, nervousness. My body can start reacting to stress and start having symptoms that make me think something is going on. I don't want you to vote on this, but I know I can ask. It's possible you've gone to the hospital with some symptom and they said, it's just stress, just stress. I've gone to the doctor, I've gone even to the hospital. They said, no problem, it's just stress. It can manifest physical problems. It also, though, can have mental symptoms of my stress. Constant worrying, racing thoughts, becoming forgetful and disorganized. Inability to focus, poor judgment, being pessimistic or negative. Now, I do want to throw in the caveat. If you're having symptoms of something like this, it is possible you might want to go see your doctor because there could be something going on. You may have this physical issue that's turned into a medical problem. So don't ignore that. But it could be that your rubber band just got too tight. You know, there's something about a rubber band. If stretched, it wants to go back to normal. You pull it and there's a tension there. And what it's saying is, release the tension, let me go back to normal. Stress is like stretching us. And something inside of us says, let go, let me go back to normal. And I know what would happen if you took this rubber band and you stretched it out and you left it stretched for a long period of time, it would lose its ability to go back because it would forget what it was designed to do in the first place. The elastic would be gone. Well, what about our bodies? What about our lives? Carrying distress over a long period of time, constant stress, is going to basically make us lose our stretchiness. We're not going to have the ability to go back down and relax once we've been stretched so far. What do we need? We need a solution. Now, I went online and looked at solutions for stress. Solutions for stress. One of the things I found was an article that said 30 ways to lessen your stress. And it stressed me out to read 30 ways to lessen my stress. I couldn't take it. I found an app for reducing stress. There's all sorts of ways to get rid of stress, but what is our way? Corrie Ten Boom said it. She said, "When I look up, I see Jesus, and I'm at rest." There's got to be a solution for stress for us that doesn't come in the pattern of how the world deals with their stress. We have to have a way that we can deal because we're not of this world. We're in it, but we're not of it. Here's what Jesus said. "Is the load heavy? Cast your burden upon the Lord. He will sustain you. Are you afraid? Cast all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. Are you tired? Come to Me, all you who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Have you lost your strength? He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, He increases power. Do you need comfort? God comforts us in all our afflictions. Have you lost hope? My soul, wait in silence for God alone, for my hope is from Him. Do you feel alone? Lo, I am with you always. And high if I'm in an airplane. Have you lost your way? In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. Do you feel pressed in? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." You see, to every action, there is an equal but opposite reaction. There, to everything that I face, God has a counter proposal to be able to help me deal with what I face. He's got it written in His Word. Whatever I'm going through, God has an answer that comes in and counters whatever I'm experiencing. Let me give some biblical ways to handle stress. First of all, we need to recognize the problem. Recognize the problem. And this would be the question I need to ask whenever I am feeling the stress of life. Have I allowed the problem to become greater than God? That would be my key to everything else I do. Do I, for whatever reason, think that what I'm facing is beyond God's ability to help me get through it? If so, yeah, I don't have an answer. I have excluded my answer. So, number one, have I allowed the problem to become greater than God? Number two, I need to disconnect from what's driving the stress. Now, the stress, though it is coming from outside sources, is actually being affirmed in some way within our minds. Remember what Solomon said? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. See, what causes the stress is I look at the situations in the world and within myself, and I try to determine by my own understanding what that means and how I need to deal with it. Well, of course, I'm going to come into stress because I don't have the equipment to discern and to be able to decide what I need to do in light of what I'm hearing. I need to turn that over to the Lord. Next is I need to turn to God in prayer. Paul said, Philippians 4:6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What's the promise? Take it to the Lord. If I take it to the Lord, the guarantee of the promise is He will exchange my burden with His peace. If I don't, what happens? I get to keep my burden. I get to keep taking it with me. And I let to keep it compounding the stressfulness within my life. But if I want to release it, turn to God in prayer. It's His promise, not mine. And then the next is to meditate on God's Word. How's that going to happen? Well, listen, help me. Listen to what Paul said, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever's true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence in anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. You know, the hardest thing when we're trying to get rid of distress or depression is to get our mind not to be focused on those two elements. If I could ever stop thinking about this stuff, well, how do I replace those thoughts? How do I stop thinking? I replace those thoughts with what's right, what's true, what's acceptable. So in the midst of my own distress, depression, causing my stress, I need to meditate on what God says is right and true and acceptable. And then I need to spend some time giving thanks and praise to God. Well, I'm right in the middle of a stressful situation. That's exactly the time I need to spend time giving thanks and praise. Here's some of the things that have been said. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Well, I don't feel victory. I feel the oppression. Realize what God has done, and we thank Him for what He does in our life. And what does He do? He gives us victory. So if I'm focused on the problem, I am not focused on the answer. So by giving thanks, I give my attention to the answer. Then Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks." Why? Because this is God's will for you. You see, it is not God's will for us to be anxious. It's not God's will for us to be distressed or to be depressed or to follow the stress and let it overcome our lives. What is His will for us in those things? That we give Him thanks for all that He's doing. And I can always give God thanks in the midst of even the darkest situation. I can find a way to thank God for something in the midst of that. And then the writer of Hebrews says, Hebrews 13, "Through Him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name." What is a sacrifice? Something that it cost me to give. I may not want to give it because it cost me too much to give, but I know I must give it. That's our praise. In the midst of our stress, we take time to say, "God, I don't feel like praising You, but I have to. God, You're a good God. In spite of how this looks, in spite of how I feel, I still give You praise for what You're going to do to work me through this." We are obligated by God to give Him praise and thanks. Spending time will begin to adjust our minds and hearts back over. Then here's this last thing. Embrace the blessing of suffering. That doesn't sound right, does it? Embrace the blessing of suffering. Someone had said, in order to realize the worth of the anchor, sometimes we need to feel the stress of the storm. You know, in nice, calm waters, the anchor has really little advantage. We're just tooting along like not a care in the world. But when there's a storm, when there's some problem, and I need to stay fixed for that moment, the anchor becomes a lifeline. And I need to feel the pressure of the storm to realize the importance of that anchor. Elizabeth Elliot, if you have a history that goes back into the 60s, you will remember her husband, Jim. Thank you. That's why I have a wife. Thank you. Just disappeared. Jim Elliot went with some other men into an unknown tribe, to try to take the gospel to them. The tribe killed them. they never made it. Elizabeth Elliot's life is a long legacy of what that experience meant, and she went on from there. She's just written a new book, and it's called Suffering is Never for Nothing. Here's some of the things she said. Suffering is an irreplaceable medium through which I learned an indispensable truth. Sort of the idea is, had I not gone through this, I wouldn't have learned some of the things that I learned because of it. And then she went on to say, if we learn to know God in the midst of our pain, we come to know Him not as one who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but one who has been over every inch of the road. When we learn what His value is, when we suffer, it gives us confidence to know that He's not only with me here, but He's preparing where I go after this is all over. Suffering exposes our weaknesses. It breaks our dependency on our own strength. It reminds us how great God is because it shows us His faithfulness. David said, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Have you ever experienced that? Do you know what it's like to have God heal your suffering, bind up your wounds from a broken heart, from a broken life, from a disappointment, from tragedy? Paul did. And here's his story. 2 Corinthians 12. Concerning this thorn in his flesh, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Paul said, most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. There was a commercial a few years ago about a glue that could be applied to something broken and make the place that it had been mended stronger than the rest of the product. That you would never have a problem right there again because that glue is going to fill that gap of brokenness and make it strong. That's what Paul had experienced. And in that place of brokenness, weakness within his own life, God poured in this glue of His grace to give him strength there that he never would have known had he not had that experience. So after that, he could always point back and say, you know, you want to see my point of strength? Look at how weak I was at this point, and look at what God did. The glue, the demonstration of God's grace in his life, through a weakness, became ultimately a strength. Paul was stronger in his weak place than anywhere else. Well, distress from the world and depression from within should press us toward our benefit, not away from it, because when we look at Jesus, we are at rest. And we need to learn this. We need to learn it. If we haven't learned it yet, we need to learn it now. Because again, what Solomon said, if we are slack in the day of distress, our strength's going to be limited. Not might be limited, is going to be limited. We have to learn that now. And there's another reason. Daniel was given a moment with an angel. Michael was explaining to him some of the visions that Daniel had been seeing. Listen to what he said. Daniel 12:1. Now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. And then in verse 3, he said, those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. You see, there is another day of distress still out there coming. I don't know when, and I don't know the circumstances, but I personally feel it's coming. And we're getting closer every moment to that day. So not only is this day a day of distress for me because of the world and because of my own inward thoughts, but there's a really big day of distress on its way. How am I going to be ready for any of that? I'm going to have to look to Jesus. He's the only one I can look at and get rest. Everything else is going to cause me stress. Here's our takeaways today. Number one, if we look at the world for our hope, we will become distressed. If we look at ourselves for the strength to cope, we will become depressed. If we look to Jesus, we will be at rest because He is our answer. Suffering is never for no reason. So let it draw us to the Lord, not pull us away. And in all things, remember, God's grace is sufficient for whatever we face. Let's pray. Father, I realize Your provisions will counter anything that we face. Father, You are so faithful throughout all Your dealings with us that You knew well in advance what we would be going through. And You included them as provisions within Your book to let us know what our alternative is, what we can rely on rather than the world, ourselves, or some other source. Father, You've shown us how faithful You are to meet all of our needs. So Lord, all we need now is the courage to trust You. We know You're faithful. We know that we are unfaithful. So God, we need that desire intensified. We need courage to rise up. We need that urging within us to trust in You when everything else is trying to push us away. So, Father, right now, for whatever we're going through, whatever we're facing, whatever our stress is, Lord, may today be a day that we actually get delivered from that. Because we are no longer a slave to fear. We're no longer a slave to these other attitudes and emotions that are trying to dominate our lives and cripple us from moving forward as faithful people of God. So Lord, set somebody free today. Give them the courage to walk faithfully with You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that wound it up. Well, I can't say no more Proverbs, but at this point, that series is done. And it has challenged me in so many ways. And I hope it has you. If you want to go back and relive any of this, go to our website and click on messages. They're there. And it may be that God has something else to say that He couldn't say during this time each day on Sunday. Maybe it'll be of some help and support. If you want to look at the things, the words, see everything that was on the screen, click over to my blog and it'll give it to you. And it's exactly my notes of what I've been working from. You'll be able to see that. Let me tell you a story. I've got, we're